Welcome to the Storyline Podcast, where we are talking to global leaders about God's global mission. Welcome to the Storyline Podcast. My name is Kirby Holmes. I will be your host. I'm one of the staff here at Storyline, and it's my privilege to introduce today's episode. Today, you're going to hear an interview between Austin Gillis and Mike Craig. Mike Craig is the executive director of Storyline, and he's going to share today about the Great Commission in the New Testament. You know, a lot of us understand Jesus' ministry and his vision for the church, but what we don't recognize is that the Great Commission is not just a one-verse wonder. You know, Jesus didn't just communicate in one verse about what he wanted the church to do. In fact, there are many passages in the New Testament that explain God's vision for his church, being engaged in his mission and being a part of his story. So let's join these guys as they talk about the Great Commission and many other passages in the New Testament. Let's get started.
All right. What's up, guys? My name's Austin, and I'm here today in the beautiful city of Austin, Texas.
That's right.
It's not so beautiful outside right now. It's pretty hot, but I'm here with Mike Craig with Storyline.
Howdy.
Mike, today we're diving into the Great Commission and really just exploring the Great Commission from top down. So let's just go ahead and jump in.
Great.
Some people may be familiar with the Great Commission, but for those that aren't, why don't you just tell us generally what is the Great Commission?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Great Commission is, by the way, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Many people in the church, you know, don't know what that means, and I think that's important for us who are involved in missions and mission work and vocational Christian work to remember that's not a phrase that everybody understands necessarily. But typically when we think about the Great Commission, we're talking about primarily Matthew 28, 18 through 20, or 16 through 20. This is probably the most descriptive description of the mission of the church. And so we have called this the Great Commission. Curiously, though, the Great Commission is not a phrase that's been around too long in the history of the church. It was coined by a Dutch missionary named Justinian von Welts in the mid-1600s. And Hudson Taylor, a couple hundred years later, really popularized this phrase we call the Great Commission. So during, you know, the Book of Acts, nobody was walking around saying, hey, the Great Commission this, the Great Commission that. This is really pretty recent Christian history, in the history of the church. So I think that's the first thing. And I think we typically think of the Great Commission, you know, most of us we tend to think of it in light of Matthew 28, 18 through 20. But it's got, there are other passages in the Gospels that shed quite a bit of light on the Great Commission.
So what do you make in Matthew 28? What do you make of Jesus' first part? Why don't we just read that real quick, and then you can tell us about the first part where Jesus says that all authority has been given to him.
You bet. Let me start. I'm going to start in 18. Again, like I said earlier, some people start this in 16, but Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus says this. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so typically when we think of this, the emphasis that we place in this text is really on this idea of making disciples. And so the word disciple here in the original Koine Greek is the Greek word mathetes, which means learner. So what Jesus is really saying is we are to make learners of Jesus, followers, lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. So this is really instructive for us in mission because, you know, there's a distinction between a convert, someone who may initially intellectually agree with the tenets of Christianity, and something more mature, you know, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower, a learner of Christ. So, you know, we get really excited when people come in the front door of the church. We get excited at an evangelistic event when someone checks a box and says, hey, I've prayed this prayer to receive Christ into my life. But, you know, we love to see that, and definitely that's the first step in discipleship. But we need to remember that, you know, Jesus is calling us, and it's clear from this text, to make disciples, learners and followers of Jesus, not just converts. So I think that's the big takeaway from the verse, that, you know, what we tend to focus on. But the piece that you mentioned, Austin, earlier, how this starts is really key. And the way Jesus begins this is to say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so you might think, well, why does he start out that way? And so remember the context. The disciples following the crucifixion of Jesus basically disappeared. They went into hiding. They were in shock. We don't see them on the day after Jesus was crucified. We see them after Jesus rose from the dead. And then, you know, 40 days or, you know, some period of time after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the 12 and then more than 500. Then he gives the Great Commission. And so they are going to be persecuted for their faith. We know from history that 11 of them are going to be martyred for their faith. They're going to be killed, several crucified. And so they're going to need to know that this command is the command from the highest source of authority in the universe, from God himself, that they're going to need that comfort. They're going to need that assurance because they're going into a pretty significant spiritual battle. So, and I think that's true for us as well. You know, we,
for sure,
we want, you know, we need that assurance. This Great Commission, which is much broader than just this text alone, and we'll talk about that in a second too, but it's from the God of the universe. It's from Jesus himself.
Yeah, I love that is where we start. That's the first kind of picture we get in the gospel. So read us through the other three mentions of the Great Commission in Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes, exactly. So one of the things that we say in our study, and you know, it's true. If you look at the Gospels and if you look at Acts 1:8, there are five dimensions of the Great Commission or expressions of it. I mean, the most explicit is this Matthew 28:18-20, and it is the Great Commission text that we think of when we think of the Great Commission. But there are four others that we want to look at. The next one is Mark 16:15, and each of these, by the way, they shed a little bit of light and give us kind of a different angle to this command. Here's what Mark 16:15 says. It says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." So the emphasis in this text is on proclamation. So this is important because the gospel and the message of Jesus is a message that needs to be, just like it says, it needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be communicated. When someone comes to my house and they see that I'm a Christian because I've got a Bible on my bookshelf, that's not enough. You know, I need to communicate. I need to express to people. They're not going to become Christians through osmosis. And so this is a gospel. This is a message that needs to be communicated. And so I think that is an emphasis that Jesus gives to them, and they follow through with that. We see that in the book of Acts, of course, with Peter standing up and proclaiming the gospel in public. The next one, so that was the second verse. The third one is in Luke. So Luke 24:46-49, we see this. Here's what it says. "And he said to them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So this key, the key here, the emphasis here is on this idea of being a witness. And, you know, you think about that for a minute. You know, when someone tells their testimony, it's so powerful. I mean, who can refute someone who just literally says, hey, listen, my life was this way, and then Jesus changed my life, and now I live a different way. You know, it's like the man who was healed of his blindness, he just said, look, all I know is yesterday I was blind and today I see. And it's very, very powerful. I mean, Austin, think about the people in your life that have impacted you just from them telling you, like, hey, this is the way my life was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I started reading this book and learning about Jesus, and my life radically shifted. And so I think that's a big piece of the Great Commission, and many, many people are going to come to faith in Christ because of just mere, hey, this is what my life was. I've met Jesus, and he changed my life, you know? So that's powerful. That's a big piece of the Great Commission, so I love that text. Next, that's Luke moving into John, the book of John, 20:21. In this verse, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So sending is the emphasis here, and the disciples certainly knew that they were being sent somewhere. If you look at Paul when he talks about what it means to be an ambassador of Christ, that word means to represent someone. It carries the notion of being sent somewhere. Really, the question is not, for us as Christians, it's not whether we're sent, but to whom are we sent? That's yeah. Really, to be a Christian is to be a sent one.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a key aspect as well.
Yeah, I love how in each of the Gospels, it kind of paints the same exact idea in a slightly different way. And so we get a better understanding fully of what it means to be sent out, that we are sent, but we must be a witness, but we also have to proclaim, and the authority that we have. And then in Acts, when it gives us this idea of the Great Commission, it talks about that we will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So even for those that are just starting with a missional life, they can just point to these four Gospels and then in Acts and get a complete understanding of where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to go, the power that we're supposed to go with. I think there's a lot to unpack in just those four Gospels and then in Acts. So we've been talking a lot just about these verses in the New Testament, and I think even for me and the church in general, we picture the Great Commission really in the New Testament sense. Would you say that that is accurate, or would you say that it's a broader picture?
Yeah, I think that is accurate. You know, Austin, I actually skipped a verse. I missed Acts 1:8. Let me circle back to your question, but first let me just read Acts 1:8, because that's the fifth one that I didn't mention. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so I think that's the final piece, is really that Jesus gives the church this mission, but he also gives a power source behind it, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so that's really key for us to keep in mind as well. We need the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus demonstrates how important this is when he actually tells, in the book of Luke, he tells the disciples, hey, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit before you even begin really proclaiming the gospel. So that's the last thing. I'm sorry I didn't get it in there earlier, but that's the fifth and final one. But back to your question, yes, I mean, we have this very New Testament centric understanding of the Great Commission, and it, you know, we really need to bring the Old Testament into view here, because if all you think of is that the Great Commission is this one verse of Matthew 28:18-20, you're missing the context. I mean, who, you know, it becomes a one verse wonder. You may have heard this before, but are we really going to stake the whole mission of the church on a single verse? Well, we might, but actually that's not what the Bible teaches. The mission of the church has its origin not in Matthew 28, not even in the New Testament, but it has its origin in the book of Genesis. And so what we're seeing is a completion. And, you know, we love these New Testament verses because there's a specificity about the mission. Jesus in Matthew 28 talks very specifically. I mean, you're going to teach, you're going to baptize, you're going to teach them all the things that I... So we love that aspect of it, but we can't forget the fact that really what Jesus is doing in the Great Commission is not just giving the Great Commission so much as he's repeating it.
Yeah, it almost seems easier to just look at that one verse and go, okay, let's go, then look at maybe the entire life of Abraham and the promises God made to him. That is interesting that you bring that up.
Yes, and so I think you know, we need to keep that in context. I think that's really, really important.
How do we see the Great Commission show up in the Old Testament?
One thing that's important here too is if you look at the book of Acts and you see the disciples, they don't really quote Jesus' words in Matthew 28. They don't quote any of these. Now, part of that could be that the New Testament is in formation, but they go back to the Old Testament. So that's part of it, is we need to understand that the early church and the disciples, they found this mission of the Great Commission. It had its origin in the Old Testament. One of the best examples is Paul writing in Galatians chapter 3. And verse 14, it says this. Paul speaking says, "So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." So Paul, in his ministry of planting churches, of taking Christ where Christ was not known, he saw this as an extension of the Abrahamic blessing, that they were carrying the football forward, so to speak, and continuing this promise to Abraham, which was, hey, through you, I will bless all of the nations. And so now the Gentiles are hearing about the gospel, Paul sees it in that context. So I think we need to see it in that context as well, that the Abrahamic promise, that's what we're doing. We're taking this blessing and paying it forward to the nations.
Yeah, I think that really is important. Even just looking through all the Old Testament and finding the Great Commission weaved into pretty much every story. I mean, with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham and Joseph, just the same story woven in everything of God being a missionary God trying to reach the nations. And that doesn't start with Jesus. It becomes fulfilled until we get to the end of the story in Revelation, when all nations, every nation, every tongue, every tribe is gathered together worshiping the one true God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, Mike, thanks for being here again today and just unpacking the Great Commission. It's always a pleasure.
You bet, Austin. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Well, what a great discussion that these guys shared with us today. And if you're ever wondering, you know, where could you get more in-depth teaching and study on this particular topic, we created something called the Storyline Study. And it is an 8-lesson study ranging from God's purpose to God's people and God's plan in the world. And it's an 8-lesson study that a small group could go through together, or just an individual you can work through. And there are great passages of scripture to study and articles to read and really deep, challenging questions to make the content come alive and really personal to you. We've also created a video series for you to jump on and watch some videos to kind of learn more and understand the concepts that we've been talking about in the podcast today. So if you'd like to read more about this Storyline Study, you can go to our website, go to storylinemissions.org. That's storylinemissions with an S, .org, and search for our Storyline Study. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today.